J10, number 6B.
That is behind our works. So we can see that that principle, therefore, if we take mind, spirit, and soul as our identity principle, if we see our identity is that we're a mind, spirit, soul identity, we're a mind, idea, identity. We exist as the image and likeness of God. The admittance to ourselves that we're God's own likeness sets us free. We go over that so often. To master the infinite idea. And what did she say? That we love that. That's becoming our motto for the class. This closes the door on death and opens it wide to immortality. So we don't like death, do we? We don't like to lose our loved ones. We know they don't die. They just go to a dimension we don't see. And eventually that will all be broken down. We saw that in the eighth day, that there's only one mind. There's one mind view. And with one mind, there's no... Death is unknown. All these extra worldviews are unknown. It will all identities are under one roof, so to speak. But we don't like at the present to lose loved ones. We don't like any sense of the belief of life in and of matter that leads to death or mortal consciousness. We don't like these universal beliefs that make us sick. We don't like imperfection or fear or hate or jealousy of the struggle of human relationships that brings stress today. Well, if we don't like it, we've got to take a new system of reference to go out from the impersonal principle, identity as mind, spirit, and soul, and catch hold to what that new system of reference is, because it brings eternal capital life. It brings us the divine capital truth, and it brings us the experience of a divine principle love, that we live and move and have our being in the realm of love, in the fourth dimension of spirit, huh? In its spiritual reality. And that takes us into another perspective, another view of reality. And when we go out from the mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love system of reference, then we're seeing that reality pattern as it is and no longer as its reversal, which gave us the mind, matter, body view. So we go out from the mind, which is God as our mind, and we see the world as God sees the world. We see the reality pattern in the field of reality as God sees it. And that's what we're after, aren't we? And that there, death is unknown, mortal consciousness is known, and fear and hate and jealousy are unknown. And our experience is we go on to spiritual spheres, as we've seen, and exalted beings, and there is just the experience of eternal life, truth, and love. Huh? Yes, so we go on now, and what we want to see then, that these, the reality values that are given to us through the study of step three, through the nature, essence, and wholeness of God, is given through the definition for God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, that these reality values are being sought in the world today. And they really are the basis of a universal science or a science of all sciences. They're not only being sought the reality values by the scientists themselves. For example, Paul Davies, when he looks at a law, he'll say that the law seems to be operating today just for the basic simple fact of goodness. He said there may be no other purpose in that the law wants to express goodness. And they call these theoretical physicists for these reality, pure, good reality values behind their subject and behind the consciousness of the scientist. But not only the theoretical physicists and quantum physicists, but also the artists and the musicians and everyone on every walk of life today, whoever are asking for real reality values in their life, whether it's in their jobs or in their human relationships. And so we can get many, many, many different examples. I have two that I'd like to just mention about how they're asking for a system of high, more moral reality values. Some are asking for higher than, of course, divine reality values. One of the people who I always enjoy quoting from is Willis Harmon. He is someone who is working very strongly today in the field of taking mankind forward. He is a president at the moment of the Institute of Noetic Science in California. And he at one time was an electrical engineering professor who spent 16 years at the Stanford Research Institute, now the SRI International. And he has written various books. One book is called A Global Mind Change and other works. Really quite a visionary, I feel, in the field of wanting to take mankind forward, both in its understanding of a science, of all sciences, of course, as he sees it, and also, how do I become one with that science? He has spent so many of his years trying to help mankind become one with the higher values of the sciences as he sees them and what they give to mankind. He did some of this fundamental grassroots in Russia. He went over to Russia way before Glasnost and Gorbachev, working through the Institute of Noetic Science in a grassroots project to reach the people in Russia in the days when they were more still suppressed under communism. And he has done a lot of work in classes and conferences on business and business ethics. He's just been a terrific force in the Institute. I was fortunate enough to meet him in the 1980s at the Institute of Noetic Sciences. I was introduced to him, and I found him to be very, very open and a very loving man. And he shared with me a transcript of a talk, a manuscript that he was going to be giving on these concepts of how consciousness is causal reality, and that consciousness determines your experience. And I told him about the Kapler Institute and our work, and he was very, very interested in it. So he is open, and he has here one of his lines. Of course, is taking his work to the business community. And here is a magazine entitled Business Ethics. And in this magazine, it's of social responsibility in business. This was a volume, I believe it was 6, number 2. Which appeared in March and in April of 1992, where they are interviewing, they say, Willis Harmon on page 28 on the role of business in the global transformation. So it's an interview with Harmon, and they have a nice layout of the interview of him. And this is just what I'm holding is a reproduction from that magazine on the interview, and one can go to a library and get the magazine and copy it out, or I could provide on a small basis copies if those are interested. But basically, what I'm interested in is here, and when he talks about the need of reality values, I'm quoting from that article, an interview. He says here, in answer to an interviewer, he says, I begin to sense, Harmon says, that somehow one had to deal with two big issues. What is the picture of reality that underlies the whole system? And what, he says, if business is the engine that creates the future, how does business learn to conform to a totally different picture of reality? And it says here, he says, the interviewer says, in your book, Global Mind Change, you talk about a shift from worldview that sees physical reality as primary to one that sees mind as primary. And Harmon says, yes, at that level of consciousness, he sees that, and especially at the level of economics, I would put the shift this way, that we are moving from a society in which economics is dominant to one in which values and the purpose are most important. He says, economics and technology are only the means you are and have and use to achieve certain goals. And we've lost track of the goal. We've become totally fascinated with technological advance and economic growth without any sense of where it's going. We have to learn to put back meaning, values, and purpose, everything that makes human life human. And then he says the most fundamental premise is that is the subject really and subjective. He said it's the mind and consciousness and spirit, and that this is the cause of everything, and object reality is the effect. He says that if values and consciousness, he says, we really consider as primary reality. And he goes on then to say that the world is an institution where creativity, intuition, values, aesthetics, sensitivity, aesthetic senses, spiritual senses are all realities. And he says we're moving from separateness to wholeness. And the locus of authority is shifting from the expert, who we don't trust anymore, to an inner authority. Control in organization is not top-down hierarchical anymore. And organizations are getting to be more like an organism of autonomous units. He says, united in a common purpose, but not controlled from one place. So he says, and goes on to show that in this global mind change, he says that ours is one of the great times of human existence, when we're making an evolutionary leap that people will span in a single lifetime. I feel pretty confident that this is what is happening. It is certainly towards a more holistic view of things, toward a balancing of outer action and inner action. He says the corporations and the schools will be the most spiritual institutions. Society will be more democratic, better able to appreciate different cultures, so that racism will be transformed into an appreciation. He says we will also see a total restructuring of the global economy. And so I think that this is so heartening, especially his sense that in the coming global transformation, corporations and the schools will be amongst the most spiritual institutions. And this is where we see that this is what Mrs. Eddy's goal always was, that spiritual education would happen, and that it would be through the schools that this subject that we teach would come about. Well, if it's a universal science and Harmon and these people see this has these reality values have to happen. First, these high morality values and then spiritual values are really the basis, and that they have to be behind business and technology today, or else we're doomed. And I had a conversation with one of our students here in the class at noon, in the break, and also Davies and some of these other theoretical physicists that we read today see that technology is leading us to a brink, and I think we talked about it before. And either technology can be used for good or for evil, as any human tool. But what Mrs. Eddy said, in this mental realm, especially where we come into the realm of the computer, which is a mental calculation, it works on the binary code of pulse and no pulse. It calculates like a of the brain, pulse, no pulse, on and off, the right hemisphere, the left hemisphere. Everything is a one or a two method of digital calculating. That this can be used, she says, either for good or evil, or it could be a realm where it's hell let loose, and that the scientists are afraid that technology is going to outstrip performance. Remember I mentioned that Leonardo da Vinci said that his greatest fear is when theory is outstrips performance, outstrips experience, and that they say that we're at a brink where it's at the very critical point of mankind. Either we'll go on with these divine reality values, first the moral values or the divine reality values, or we'll again experience a annihilation of what they say life on Earth through nuclear means. Huh? That we're at that terrific critical point. And Mrs. Eddy said that it's at this critical point where we must rely on education, in a spiritual education, in our institutions. And that's where Steinmetz said that when the scientists would turn their lens from defining the physical science as physical into seeing it as spiritual, that there'll be greater evolution. And it's happening, that, you know, as Mrs. Eddy shows, that all science is divine. We just call it physical science in the world today. But as I've mentioned that before, that the law of gravitation, she says, is a law of mind. And it's just a crisis of perception. Either we perceive that law as a spiritual law of the divine mind, as she said, then it's the adhesion, cohesion, and attractions are the buoyancy principle that help us walk on the water, so to speak, as Jesus did. Or we say that same spiritual law of gravitation defined physically, and therefore it is the adhesion, cohesion, and attraction that pulls us down, you see, and we sink. It's that same pattern, either seen real or in reverse. But it's the law of gravity. And it's a basic fundamental law of the universe, either seen from a spiritual standpoint or from a physical standpoint. And the definition of it as physical will have to drop away from the physical scientists. Just because the physical scientists say the law of gravity is a law of physical science doesn't make it so. It's that their definition has to be refined. So slowly but surely, these scientists and people like Harman, an electrical engineer and an educator, can see that they have to have their science based on higher values and their business. Now, it isn't just Harman himself that sees that the businesses have to be based on higher, first moral values and spiritual values. And then technology and the use of technology has to be based on more moral values or spiritual values. These need of seeing reality values is also seen in the world by the politicians. And we have the one that we like today, the world leader of Vaclav Havel. He certainly is one who has shown us the need to go forward from the old values into the new values. And he, being himself a writer, a poet, who we know then led the movement against communism in his country, and then went on to become president of Czechoslovakia. And when he came to the United States, he, of course, you know, is one of the unique leaders who addressed our joint meeting of the United States Congress on February 21st, 1990, right after, of course, the big fall of communism in Eastern Europe in 1989, where we begin to have that whole breaking down of autocracy and communism and the coming in of democracy in so many of those countries. That his address to the joint meeting of Congress, this is just taken from his speech, I just wrote out a few points, where he shows that, and a point A, he says we have to learn from democracy. And he says we can learn from democracy in the United States. It has been a 200 years of successful working under that category. And he says that the world still looks to America. And you read again the things he says. He's still saying today in 1994 that the world still looks to America for its values and for its reality values, and that America is a world leader whether it likes it or not, you see. It still is being looked at, and he certainly said it there. And he said, point B, that consciousness precedes being. He puts consciousness as the primary value of reality, as we saw Harman did too, that consciousness is causal reality, and that's one of the big war cries of Havel. And he says that there's a global revolution in human consciousness. And he says that, a point C, that salvation is in the human heart, in meekness, in responsibility. And in responsibility is something higher than just the family or nation. He says it's a responsibility to the order of being itself. Isn't that something? And we know even the physicist Heisenberg says that our morals and values are compassed by which we live. And he says we only forge those higher moral values because we all want to align ourselves to a central order. And this is what Hochwald was saying. He says, yes, higher responsibility to the family is good, to the nation is good, but the highest is to have responsibility to the order that is inherent in being itself. And he says that's the goal of the family of man. And then speaking in a Eastern European conference to the European leaders at an International Press Institute conference in March 1990, in an article that appeared in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer on April the 1st, 1990, under the title Exercising Tyranny, Havel said again, A, that we're seeking a moral foundation for a new democracies. Morality is at once the basis for and most needed commodity, not animality, in the struggle in Eastern Europe. It is not so much a political problem as a moral problem. B, don't reduce morality to just a thing as abortion. C, moral ingredients keep society together. They're shared notions of the social good. D, morality is hard currency. He said, freedom, you conquer. Democracy, you have to learn. We'll have to learn democracy in the making. He said that, isn't that wonderful? That instead of money being the currency, it's morality, it's these divine values. And Harman said, the economy isn't based on money, it's based on divine values. Well, what did Mrs. Eddy give us but a science of divine reality values, a science of moral divine reality values. So finally, hard currency becomes the science of ideas, the science of divine concepts. The divine, which translates itself to moral concepts. Do you see how they're asking for step three? And that is the money in the bank. That's the currency in the bank, not money. This is revolutionary. This is a big break. This is behind everything, Louisa. Yes, Louisa is saying that Al Gore, the vice president of the United States, President One, also in one of his books, shows that everything is based on these values, aren't they? And society is governed according to these values, and you get the government you deserve according to the kind of values that you hold in consciousness. Very good. So these politicians today, not only the businessmen and others, are seeing this. It's just terrific that one always felt maybe what Mrs. Eddy gave as step three of the science of divine values and the science of ideas was just abstract glory. You know, we studied the synonymous terms to learn what mind was through its ideas and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth, and love. And in early days, people just memorized the list of ideas under mind or spirit or soul, principle, life, truth, and love, always feeling it was abstract glory, you know. But today we see the world asks for it as hard currency. This is what makes the world tick. Much more important. This is just fruition coming up. And then Havel shows then really that we have to move on to this is now in my terminology, into a second degree then of the moral. I'm just interpreting now. He asked for higher moral values. Well, he's asking first of all for moral values, and they ask for the spiritual values. But those moral values are our second degree, as Mrs. Eddy gave them in the second translation page 116 in the retranslation of the Christ. And we see that that second degree of the human really is constitute of half Adam man, half the first degree, and half spiritual man. Half the third degree constitutes the second degree of the human. He's a divided man. It's half physical and half spiritual. You know, as we like that statement Max often quotes, that one of these thinkers in the world today, scientists, said that between the chimpanzee and man are we, huh? So it's half Adam man, half spiritual man, or half mortal mind of the first degree and half the divine mind of the third degree is a human mind. It's a split state of consciousness. Sometimes it's influenced by the third degree, some planets influenced by the first degree. It's transitional. It's nothing. It has no its impulse of its own. Its thoughts are either good thoughts from being influenced from the third degree of spiritual reality, or it's has bad thoughts being influenced from the erroneous thinking of the first degree. It's a neutral state, which is a house divided amongst itself. The second degree, though, at that human stage, is a little of both. So the gray area gives us something called moral. It's certainly not animal, and it's not spiritual, but it's a gray area called moral. It's better to be moral than to be immoral, and yet it's better to be spiritual. but anyhow, morality is a step, honesty is a step, compassion is a step. It's Mrs. Eddy's level of evil beliefs disappearing. It's the agree to disagree in this harmony. And on this morality of a second degree, then political basis, as Harmon shows us, is based on democracy, a government by the people, the freedoms and right of the individuals, all based on what we would hope democracy would based on high moral values. And that's what Havel is saying to America. You stick to your democracy, you stick to those high moral values that your country's constitution asks for, and the world looks to you to do this. Don't digress. And it says in the social, it's in the second degree, is based on moral values, the values of cooperation. It's based on an educated society, on moral values, the agreeing to disagree in this harmony. And economic is on a moral basis, is a free market economy, a peace economy. This high budget tech economy has to be based on moral values, otherwise it won't work. And wealth has to be based on hard currency of moral values and not money. That's the only way, as Havel says, we're going to go from a moral society of democracy, that which is in the human art, those values. And we know they're transitional, but they take us into the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is not government by democracy. A shock to others, because that's always just mob rule, isn't it? The greater controls the lesser. Who says the greater's right? Well, the greater's certainly closer to right if it's on a moral standard. Woe be if the greater is on a physical standard. So the higher government is theocracy, which is immediate direction of government under the laws of God, where Mrs. Eddy said, man governed by his maker is self-governed according to the laws of God. We don't need any government beyond theocracy. And that was a government really that Samuel wanted to bring in, was theocracy, government by prophecy. And Samuel was so disappointed when theocracy wouldn't reign. But he had to turn to prophecy. And maybe it was a learning effect, and it was that the Israelites asked for Saul, who was a personal king, and then David came along and wanted to teach, work out only also from principle, from a theocratic government of consciousness. So we see, therefore, that was Mrs. Eddy's highest government of her church manual was theocracy, the church universal and triumphant. Government under the immediate direction for God, which allows through her estoppel clauses for the government by people, the democratic government by people, to drop in the autocratic control of the churches by the Boston hierarchy of the board of directors. In her manual is set up for the board of directors to dissolve, and that the branch churches would govern themselves according to democracy, which was a moral standpoint, but eventually would dissolve into the church universal and triumphant, everyone taking the textbook as its guide to eternal life based on the Bible. And there we get the laws of life, truth, and love, don't we? Those laws of theocratic government. So her whole manual evolved from the autocratic sense of control to a more democratic sense of control, finally into a theocratic government under the immediate direction of the laws of God. So the world will come to that theocratic government also, but the in-between step there is democracy on these values. This isn't something that we just asked for today.